Gang, welcome to another exciting episode of National Google Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN. It is your sanctuary for free speech. Now, of course, we should have more than just a sanctuary station or a sanctuary city. We should have a sanctuary universe for free speech, but we don't. So you got to take what you can get, and what you can get is RBN. So go to republicbroadcasting.org. Click on the donate button and send a donation, badly needed fundage. And then download the Kosher-certified app because it's totally awesome and it will help you lead a non-kosher certified lifestyle. Okay, as promised, we have with us Mark Dankoff. Mark, welcome to the show.
Well, I thought we would open very, very briefly with some bullets to celebrate the fact that Texas is now the 21st state to have constitutional carry. You can carry without a permit in the state of Texas as of the 1st of September. So very quickly, we thought we'd read some bullets today. Bullets from James G. Bruin Jr. of Culture Wars. And this is, in fact, the May 2021st edition of E. Michael Jones Culture Wars. I'll just mention two or three of these so that you can get a flavor for bullets from James G. Bruin. He says, those who specify they, them as their pronouns of choice must have multiple personality disorder. Those who refer to God as she ignore his specified pronoun of choice. Graphic novel? In June, Marvel Comics will introduce a new Captain America character, Aaron Fisher, a quote-unquote LGBTQ hero. Bruin observes that the Biden administration should adopt him as the symbol of its foreign policy. Then here's one for you, folks. Jonathan Pollard says, the bottom line on this charge of dual loyalty is, quote, I'm sorry, we're Jews, and if we're Jews, we will always have dual loyalty, says Pollard. Bruin asks, why hasn't the ADL slapped him for anti-Semitism? And then, of course, here's the one that many of us are continuing to follow in the news. Lesbian Marxist BLM co-founder Patrice Cullors been on a real estate buying binge, snagging four high-end homes for $3.2 million in the United States alone, says the New York Post. Ms. Cullors has now resigned her position with Black Lives Matter because she has too many opportunities to make serious money with speaking engagements and other activities on behalf of her Marxist and lesbian worldview. So those are just a few of the bullets from James G. Bruin. We have up on our big board from V. Contacta, which you can access at nationalbeagle.com, all of the tons of stories that we can reference today in the middle of our conversation. So there you have it.
All right, lots of stuff there. I don't know, hardly know where to begin. There, life sometimes comes at us fast and furious. Okay, I'll tell you one thing. So yesterday I did a show. Part two of the show was on why we should be serious and not going for crazy theories like flat earth unless we're willing to review our high school trigonometry and try to do the math ourselves. But part one of the show was on young Nick Fuentes and his debate on Israel with a lawyer named Robert Barnes. And I don't know if that's anybody you've ever heard of, Robert Barnes, Mark. And I thought Nick Fuentes won and did a good job. And in particular, when he was asked whether the United States would be safer if Israel was wiped off the map, would the United States be safer? And after rejecting the premise, Nick Fuentes looked into the camera and said, well, yeah, actually, I think it would be. So,
I would say yes as well. We would simply not only be safer, we would have a much more ironic policy in the Middle East. We would also be in a situation where we would not be forking over billions to Israel every year, billions that could be spent on our own people, rebuilding our own infrastructure. And last but not least, if Israel did not exist, to quote my longtime friend Mark Glenn of The Ugly Truth, we would still have to deal with the issue of Jewish power and Jewish supremacy and Jewish cultural pollution here in the United States, folks. We cannot get away from the fact that in terms of these culturally Marxist issues, that it is a disproportionately Jewish support, quoting Joe Biden now, folks, It is a proportionately Jewish support of Black Lives Matter. It is a proportionally Jewish support of the abortion industry and the LGBTQ people and all the rest of us that has the U.S. in the cultural sewer and the cultural division that it is presently in. So getting rid of the Zionist monolith would presumably make the entire world safer, but we would also be dealing with a circumstance where we could then focus upon the kinds of things that are being supported by the tribe and by the lobby in this country that are to the detriment of the average American. Even if Israel did not exist, we would still have major, major troubles in this country with what I think E. Michael Jones has called the Jewish control of discourse.
Okay, so before we go on to some of the stories you've prepared, I want to just do a little mental exercise for a second. Now,
pretend you're Joe Biden and see if you can pull that off.
Yeah, challenge you to mental push-ups.
I'm sorry.
And this came up in the debate, the mention of the Samson option, whereby if Israel's existence as a Jewish state, if Israel was threatened with regime change of its Jewish state, it would lash out in all directions. It's got nuclear weapons. It's got a nuclear triad. It's got nuclear submarines, thanks to the suicidal chancellors of Germany, Merkel and the dude that was Merkel's predecessor, I forgot his name, Schroeder, I think, something like that.
Yeah.
It's got the Jericho missiles, which can hit the United States, because of course, and it's got I guess the world's third largest air force. It used to be, maybe China's overtaken it. I don't know, but it's got this triad. It's nuclear armed. And of course, you mentioned the Jewish domination of our own country. So here's the question: Let's just say Hitler was elected president of the United States. Okay, I mean everybody likes to abuse Hitler, so let's just stick this on Hitler. If President Hitler wanted to wipe
wonderful ring that has, President Hitler. It almost sounds, it rolls off your tongue, kind of like President Duke. No, I'm sorry, David. That's a joke. Don't send the boys over to the house.
I have to say, earlier in the week, I called on Belarusian President Lukashenko to resign so that he could come over here and be our president. But at any rate, if President Hitler wanted to wipe Israel off the map, given the situation, how would he do it? Could he do it? Could he issue the orders and have them carried out without our own cities being wiped out?
Well, I think it gets back to Seymour Hersh's book, The Samson Option, folks. Everyone needs to read that book. Dr. Slattery is not simply dreaming up this business of the Samson Option. It's real. Seymour Hersh's book is a go-to source for how serious this scenario really is. And I think what you're underscoring here, Patrick, is that the Zionist leadership, driven by this Zionist ideology of greater Israel, which is not simply a question of controlling the territory between the Nile and the Tigris and Euphrates rivers, it's also a question of a world government being established in the United Jerusalem under Jewish control that controls the economies and the cultures and so forth of every nation on the face of the earth. This is ultimately the Zionist ideology. It goes well beyond Palestine and the Middle East. It is a question of global governance. That is really what is behind all of this stuff, including the rigged election, which brought us, Joe, I am totally senile, but still a Zionist, Biden. So in this regard, when you look at this, with the Samson option, if Israel felt that its so-called existence as a state was being threatened, the Seymour Hersh premise with a lot of documentation is that they would be prepared, as Samson did in the Old Testament, right? How did he get the Philistines? Well, he got them by pulling down the pillars of the temple on himself, knowing that he was going to be killed, of course. But in his particular situation, blinded and so forth and so on. Check this out scripturally, folks, in terms of Samson and Delilah in that whole story. Samson ended up pulling down the pillars in order to get at his enemies. He understood that he was also going to be taking his own life. So this, in conjunction with, I think, what we might call the Masada complex, which introduces a variant, which is certainly the same theme as the Samson option, the Masada complex from the Zionist defense against the Roman legions in AD 70, that Masada complex is the ancient version of the Samson option that Hirsch talks about. And we could very easily be in a situation where if Israel really felt that it was totally isolated in the world and that all the nation states in the world were fed up with it, and the various peoples who are being ruled by Zionist governments, Zionist-occupied governments, presently had major uprisings against their own elitist governments and regained control of their own house and decided, hey, we're done with this Israel business, you could see a world holocaust based upon an implementation of both the Masada complex and the Samson option that, if Hirsch is correct, would involve nuclear weaponry. So this is where we are. And, you know, when you look at the mentality of a people that clearly, just as one example, we all know this, the Jeffrey Epstein, Ghislaine Maxwell sex scandal and sex trade industry was a Mossad operation from start to finish, intended to blackmail all kinds of powerful people around the world who participated in these immoral things sexually, to blackmail them to ensure that they stay on Israel's correct side of these policy issues within their own realms, within their own individual governments. This kind of thinking, this kind of ruthlessness, again, in the minds and hearts of people who possess the level of nuclear weaponry that they do, should be a frightening prospect for anyone to really sit down and think about in conjunction with Hirsch's book. And these are the psychopaths that have given us the Levon affair. These are the people that brought us the Meyer-Lansky-Ben-Gurion link to the Kennedy assassination. These are the people who brought us the USS Liberty attack on June 8th, 1967, Operation Cyanide during the Six-Day War. These are the people who, of course, have brought us Sabra and Shatila. These are the people who have brought us the IPAC and Ben-Ami in Promise Affairs and spy cases. These are the people who ultimately, in conjunction with an element of the Saudi nexus, brought us 9/11. These are the folks who have brought us the assassinations of these Iranian nuclear scientists. These are the people behind the terrorism of the MEK, MKO, Iranian Islamic Marxist organization, now based in Tirana, Albania. And the list goes on and on and on. And when we think about it, these are the people, of course, who have tried to destroy the Syrian regime and the Syrian people. These are the people who are behind the extrajudicial murder of Muammar Gaddafi. These are the folks who ultimately got us involved in the Afghan war and the Iraqi war illegitimately. And when we come full circle on these things, we can read something that is up there on our board of nationalbugle.com via V. Contacta that kind of connects dots. And that is, when you look at 9/11, who is it that is now the head of the official governmental, United States governmental board that's going to be dealing with COVID-19 issues? One Philip Zylico, right? This is the guy that brought us the official 9/11 cover-up on the part of the American government. This is the guy who in 2002 was a part of George Bush's special National Security Advisory Board, which laid down the pathway for this illegitimate invasion of Iraq and all these neocon efforts that followed. And so when we start examining the totality of this control of discourse, yes, it involves banking. Yes, it involves media. Yes, it involves governments. Yes, it involves overthrowing other people's governments that are not yet on this so-called demonic team that has been put together. And this is where you run into circumstances like the one that has now been developing in Belarus. And if you examine one of the articles that we put up on VKontakte, which is up on nationalbugle.com, in terms of all the subject material that we could talk about in this brief period of time in the air today and on RBN, we discovered that this so-called Jewish heiress with her media consortium is now going after Lukashenko of Belarus on the issue of freedom of the press, the Zionist attacks on this whole situation that involved this forced landing of this aircraft that was going from Greece to Lithuania, I believe, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Ended up being grounded. To where the Belarusian authorities could get their hands on someone that we now learn. And I'm trying to remember this guy's last name. First name is Roman. Last name begins with a P. As it turns out,
or something. I don't know. It's not. You know, we'll get to that.
But come to find out, according to RT, this guy has links to the pro-Nazi Azov battalion that was used by the United States and the EU to overthrow the Yanukovych regime in February 2014 in Ukraine.
Yanukovych government in Ukraine. Okay, we only have about a minute and a half before the break. I just want to get back to President Hitler for a second.
Sure.
Given Jonathan Pollard, given, you know, the even in a Trump administration, the likes of a John Bolton and a Mike Pompeo, is it conceivable? I mean, we know that during the Cold War, we were on the verge of nuking the Soviet Union multiple times. Presumably, a president could give an order to nuke Russia or China, and it would be carried out. If President Hitler, if he gave an order to nuke Israel, given all the either Pollard-type Jews or Bolton-type Shabbat Goyim that proliferate the American establishment, could an order like that go through the chain of command and be carried out without being sabotaged or without the Israelis being tipped off to have a first strike?
Yeah, I think you're on the right track there. I would say that it would not be possible for the very reasons that you cite. And, you know, one of the most amazing graphics that I have seen recently was put up in the Russian VKontakte. When you see the tribal representation in the Joe Biden cabinet, it is absolutely staggering. And just in his cabinet alone, and that doesn't even begin to address all the people in the national security community, all the people in the intelligence business, all the people in high levels of the American military who are basically totally on board with supporting Israel at virtually any cost, if not in fact at any cost.
Okay.
And so if you had a situation where an American president, regardless of who it would be, would have some compelling reason to say nuke Israel. Let's say, for example, if you had an American president,
even surgically take out Dimona, their known nuclear assets.
Sure, or be in a situation if all of the Israeli links to the Kennedy assassination had come out at the time, and there had been military breaking of diplomatic relations. In the retaliation of the United States government upon Israel for that criminal act, or the USS Liberty attack in 1967, almost 4 years later, we can only presume on the basis of Lyndon Johnson's actions or non-actions in the case of the Liberty that from that time on forward, certainly, there would be no real significant chance that any American chief executive in a theoretical model or a theoretical set of contingencies could order an American strike on Israel in self-defense if that was truly a justifiable scenario. Wouldn't happen.
Well, we're up on the
break. We'll be right back. Say the things you used to say and make the world go away.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
And make the world go away.
So we are back, and I think we can agree that Nick Fuentes was right when he said, yeah, actually, we would be safer without Israel. But the premise of the question, now Israel's got its nukes. It's not that easy to wipe Israel off the map. So we've got to learn to live with this situation. It's like learning to live with a heavily armed, paranoid schizophrenic living upstairs. Okay. All right. So you mentioned the Belarus situation where, normally I wouldn't suggest that countries force airliners to land so that they can make unscheduled landings in their country so that they can arrest people. But on the other hand, given everything that the United States has done, you mentioned to overthrow the next door neighbor Ukrainian government 7 years ago, and the attempts since last year to overthrow the Belarusian government of awesome President Lukashenko, I'm not going to complain. So. What about this? What's going to come of this? There's going to be sanctions, more efforts to overthrow Lukashenko. Presumably Putin has his back. What do you know about this?
Well, again, I think the striking thing is when you start getting into international media, and it happens every time we start learning who these major players are against the Belarus regime that have major connections to the American National Endowment for Democracy, to the American CIA, to global Zionist media, and so forth and so on. And these are the folks who, of course, in mainstream media in this country are depicted as the champions of democracy and human rights, when in fact they are the agents of the facilitation of the ongoing forcible regime changes around the world that are taking place at the hands of this globalist Zionist cabal that has the United States government in its back pocket, and when you and has the EU regimes in the back pocket as well. I think this is nothing, this portends nothing good in regard to the situation between the United States and Russia, or between NATO and Russia. Putin hasn't figured out what is going on here. And I saw just today in the Russian media that the EU basically determined to continue its flights to Russia without going through Belarus airspace. And the Russians simply said no. You want to fly in here, you're going to go through Belarus. Mm-hmm. In other words, what I think this is saying is that we've had enough of this stuff going on, both in our southern underbelly with the Ukraine, the stuff that's been going on with Georgia and South Ossetia going back to, 2008. Mm-hmm. We're well aware of your ongoing buildups on our borders with more NATO military operations taking place on our borders here in Eastern Europe, on our western border, and also in the Baltic region. We're going to put a stop to this. We are going to resist this in the same way that we resisted your illegal incursion into Syria on behalf of the usual suspects. So this is my reading of the situation, Western media has all been out of joint because Belarus intelligence proved to be more insightful and more shrewd than American intelligence. Somebody noted that on VK and sent that to me, and I said, what American intelligence? I wasn't aware that our leadership had any intelligence, and they thought that was pretty funny. But nonetheless, it gets to the fact that the neocons are still smoking over the fact that they were shown up in Syria, that Assad gets reelected by a 95.1% a vote, and Western press is immediately trying to delegitimize the legitimacy of that election. In the same way that they suggest that that Lukashenko didn't win the election in Belarus, and that he's some big-time tyrant, and that this lady that nobody has ever heard of up until recently in the West, who has all these Western intelligence and National Endowment for Democracy connections and connections to Zionist media, that she somehow won that election. I don't think so. Mm-hmm. This is the and this is the repeated pattern that we are seeing. And have been seeing for years in regard to these situations, going all the way back to Operation Ajax in 1953 in Iran, and what subsequently happened in Guatemala in 1954. These more recent situations are even more risky in terms of blowback, because unlike those, where many people around the world did not really understand or know what was going on in that pre-internet age, I think now that the script is very shop-worn, and that immediately around the world, when people have access to non-Western media and when they have access to information in foreign social media that's not available on Twitter and Facebook, they start going, oh, I've got this figured out. This is just more of the same. This is an old act. It has the patterns. I see the players. I see who their connections are and all of these statements in the Western media on Belarus and on Lukashenko and so forth and so on. Are absolutely false, and that they are designed to further encircle Russia, mm-hmm. and potentially even to bring in with regime change to bring Belarus into NATO in the same way that some of the real neocon crazies want to bring Ukraine into NATO. I mean, this is what's going on here.
Lithuania, Latvia, and Estonia into NATO, and
exactly
and of the Warsaw Pact countries.
All exactly.
Right. We're up at the break. We'll be right back.
Anytime you're feeling lonely, anytime you're feeling blue.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen planned to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
Extendivite 7-herb formulation is approved to help maintain cardiovascular health and help lower blood lipid levels in adults. Extendivite is made from hawthorn, garlic, valerian, cayenne, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, and milk thistle. The herbs in Extendivite have been chosen for their ability to help with overall health. Many people have reported improved energy and stamina in just a few months. If you think you could feel just a little bit better, then Extendivite may just be for you. Extendivite is an all-natural supplement. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
You say you want me back again. That's the time I'll come back home to you.
Okay, we are back. And Mark, I've got a question for you. So we know over the past month there's been this, I described it as an orgy of violence, orgy of Israeli violence aimed at Palestinians, primarily in Gaza, but also in East Jerusalem and the West Bank. I guess East Jerusalem kind of triggered it. And so my question is it going to continue? I mean, I know there's technically a ceasefire or something, but is it going to continue? And then also, I mean, obviously a lot more Palestinians died than Israelis, but in the past, even, you know, if you look at Israeli military actions against Hezbollah, even though more Hezbollah partisans died, it was still viewed as a victory for Hezbollah because of Israel not being able to achieve objectives. So is the military actions, are they over? And if so, what's the scorecard like?
Well, there are several things that are involved here. No, none of it is over. In the first place, amazingly, just in the last couple of days, and people can check this out at RT, Russia Today, Israel has approved, in the wake of these latest maniacal operations in East Jerusalem and at the Al-Aqsa Mosque and in Gaza, Israel in the midst of all of this unfavorable international publicity that has accrued in terms of what they've been up to with these military strikes and all the rest of it. They just approved a whole new set of illegal settlements in the occupied territories. This has largely gone unreported by the usual suspects in Western media, including CNN, but it is factual. That is exactly what they continue to do. And, of course, they have made overtures about attacking Hezbollah in southern Lebanon. But there are configurations that have been changing for a long time. And I think one of the most significant things that has come out of this latest conflict and these latest actions, criminal actions on the part of the Israelis, is that the Gazans have demonstrated, and I think this one spokesman for Hezbollah, said this recently, as well as the one of the representatives of Hamas, who happened to be in Vienna this week, said it. The fact that you finally have some missile strikes coming from the other side in retaliation, with that, this is a whole new era in the fact that it's no longer just sticks and stones, that the opposition has shown some degree of ability to deliver. Yes, it is not the superior firepower that the Israelis possess, but nonetheless, these missile strikes, which have a range of something like 200 kilometers, have shown that it's not as easy as it once was for Israel to engage in its activities free of fear of retaliation. And I think much of this goes back to certainly when Israel became bogged down in southern Lebanon years ago, paid a very, very heavy price for that and had to subsequently withdraw from what it was that they were attempting to do in South Lebanon. That was really the beginning of an indication that their arrogance and their overwhelming smugness and confidence in the wake of the 1967 war was something that needed to be reassessed and reexamined. The fact is, between the demographics of that region, which are all against them in coming years and in coming potentially decades, all the demographic strength in terms of numbers is on the other side. But now you have a situation with some ability on the part of the Gazans, some ability on the part of Hamas, more than just a little bit of capability on the part of Hezbollah to respond militarily to some of the things that Israel used to be able to do routinely. This is where so much of this picture is changing and has the Israeli government extremely concerned about their potential vulnerability. Mm-hmm. There's another aspect of this as well, and I believe it's one of the stories that I listed on VK for this show, and of course that link is up on nationalbugle.com, and that is a poll that the Times of Israel was quoting from. I don't remember if the Pew Research Center did this poll or one of the other reputable polling outlets, but it was showing a sharp decline in support of Israel among younger Americans who identified themselves as Protestant evangelicals. The poll was quite fascinating to see. Then, in contrast, if these numbers are to be believed, in Israel's most basic, significant non-Jewish constituency in the United States, which is the Protestant evangelicalism with its history of support for Christian Zionism and the so-called dispensational premillennial view of prophecy, that if these latest numbers that the Times of Israel cited are at all accurate, Israel does not have the monolithic support among their most basic and most significant non-Jewish community in the United States. That suggests, if those numbers, again, are credible, and I don't know how scientific that poll is, but clearly the Israelis are worried if that sort of thing appears in the Times of Israel. That would suggest that when there is a significant decline among younger Protestant evangelicals what used to be monolithic support in that community for anything that Israel did, that perhaps in a younger generation they're finding out that there are other views of Christian eschatology with a much longer history than that of dispensationalism that don't agree with any of this nonsense of John Hagee and Jerry Falwell and so forth, But maybe it's suddenly dawned not only on young Protestant evangelicals, but on younger Americans generally, that if these Israeli policies continue, that they're the ones who are going to die in disproportionate numbers being committed to an American military action in the Middle East on behalf of Netanyahu and the boys that has nothing to do with Christianity, and it has nothing to do with the true national security of this country. So I saw the numbers on that poll, which we've listed in our VK listing for this show on nationalbugle.com, and I'm thinking maybe the American people are finally just beginning to figure out that the American political elite, which is in bed with this Zionist entity, they're virtually one and the same thing, that these folks, as you put it so aptly to me off the air, Dr. Slattery, this American political elite is basically at war with its own people. Mm-hmm. And I don't think there's a better example of this that we can find than the culture wars or one part of that. But even more significantly, perhaps for this discussion, is the very real threat that the United States could be involved in a third world war for absolutely no good reason.
Yeah. Sometimes we're talking about China. Earlier we were talking about Belarus and Russia, and we could get dragged into something so easily. Israel is massively armed. It's heavily armed, but it does have these vulnerabilities. It's geographically, it's about, if you're not counting the West Bank, I think it's about the size of New Jersey. But even then, it's vulnerable, because even then, so much of that New Jersey-sized area is in the southern Negev Desert, which, of course, is where the nuclear facilities are. But yes, its population is really, really concentrated. I guess I've never been there, but you can drive very easily from Jerusalem to Tel Aviv to Haifa to Beersheba or whatever. Jaffa, whatever other towns they have, these are places that you can drive to and come back in an afternoon, I guess, right? I mean, this is very...
Yes, absolutely. I've done it. Not recently, but decades ago. Yes, I've done it. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. So if the Iranians, for instance, even if they were just to be able to throw together a few nuclear devices, and Israel's got hundreds, those few nuclear devices, if one or two of them were to go off in an Israeli population center, that would be perhaps completely destroyed. I mean, that could completely wipe out the Israeli state if you just blew up I can't see the Iranians actually wanting to blow up Jerusalem, because it's a holy site for them. But Tel Aviv, who knows what happens?
Well, that's exactly right. And you know, what's interesting, as I mentioned before, is not simply the military reality of what you've so well outlined here, Dr. Slattery, with the geographic realities of Israel, which I witnessed personally many years ago when I was traveling over there when I was young. But you're also dealing, as I mentioned, with the demographic issues in terms of who's populating and who isn't. One of the things that's significant are the number of Jews who have quietly immigrated from Israel in the wake of some of these new realities. That's a trend to be watched. And last but not least, we are seeing, maybe it's not obvious to the average American, but the kinds of cultural and religious and political divisions that have now come to the fore in the United States are in Israel as well. You look at these Orthodox Jews, for example, who are not Zionists and who don't serve in the military, and who are appalled by the secular Jewish community in Israel, basically creating out of place, like in Tel Aviv, what is thought to be the LGBTQ capital of the world. Mm-hmm. So in this regard, Israel is dealing with they are occupying the land of a hostile a numerically superior population. The United States did that, of course, in with what it was trying to do in South Vietnam, and even with its massive military, conventional military superiority, was not successful in continuing what it was doing in the war in Southeast Asia a couple of generations ago. Arguably, Israel is going to have more difficulty continuing to be successful with what they have been in the past. Their enemies are increasing in numbers demographically. They are increasing in shrewdness. They understand asymmetrical warfare, even as their own conventional military capabilities improve, however slowly. And then there is another element involved in all of this as well, of course, and that is that just maybe, Vladimir Putin has had enough of these American regime change operations on his own borders. He certainly has demonstrated in Syria an ability to counteract this sort of thing. We start talking about the Chinese getting increasingly fed up with the situation with the United States and the South China Sea and over Hong Kong and over Taiwan. If a couple of superpowers should intervene against Israel in a major Middle Eastern conflagration, then the United States would really be in a pickle. And I would urge people to take a look at an article on our big board and the V Contacto link. That is one from a few years ago, Dmitry Orlov, that has now a total over 55,000 hits on Bausman's Russia Insider. And that is the way in which Russian hypersonic missile technology has totally altered the character of the military balance of power between Russia and the United States, where the American Navy's aircraft carrier-based strategy that has been the case certainly since World War II is now increasingly vulnerable to these unbelievable hypersonic missiles that travel at three or four times the speed of sound, that have been produced by the Russians at about one-tenth of the cost of these American aircraft carrier task forces. And when you start seeing this configuration change with between Israel and the Palestinians, Israel and the Gazans, Israel and Iran, Israel and Syria, and so forth and so on, and add to that the larger dimensions of this country's deteriorating relationship with a Russia that has experienced renaissance under Putin, not just economically and militarily, but especially culturally. There's been a renaissance there and continues to be one of the pre-communist Russian Orthodox culture in that country. So it's been a tremendous using the term revival extremely advisedly because of the American usage of that term in a completely different cultural context, but the revival of the Russian Orthodox Church's impact on the lives of average Russians, a renaissance of proud nationalism, an understanding that when it comes to the machinations of the United States in Georgia and in South Ossetia and in Ukraine and in Belarus and in Syria, just to name a few, that this is all a dagger aimed at their throats. And much like the Iranians, much like the Syrians, much like the Chinese, you have a very strong sense of the fact that, you know, who do these people really think that they are? We're going to punch them right in the mouth this time. That's my sense. And that their individual peoples, when you read the reaction of the average Iranian, as I have access to their media, to the Soleimani assassination of January of last year, the utter fury of these people at that and at the assassination of their scientists, the breaking of the American word over JCPOA, the warlike economic sanctions, and all the rest of it. When you add Palestine and Gaza to that mix, what's happening next door in Iraq and Syria is the Iranians see it. It's like, you know, we've got nothing to lose. These people are trying to slowly kill us anyway. We're going to fight. And I don't think that the American political elite or the average American as well has any conception of just what we're getting into and the absolute resolve of these various governments and their peoples to defend themselves, from what is clearly a Zio neocon aggression against their existence.
Okay, so we've only got a minute before the next break. So earlier I had asked if an American president wanted to you know, not even necessarily a nuclear strike, but just like a surgical conventional strike against Israel's nuclear facilities or something. Could it be carried out? Over the past month, there were reports that President Putin actually threatened military action against Israel if Israel were to do certain actions. So from that, and you'll probably have to answer on the other side of the break, but can we gather that President Putin would be able to carry out a military strike against Israel if he ordered one, that he would be able to get his forces, unlike an American president, could actually muster his forces to actually attack Israel? That's the question, but you'll have to answer it on the other side of the break.
We took a little trip along with Colonel Jackson down the mighty Mississippi. We took a little bacon and we took a little beans, and we met up with the British near the town of New Orleans. We fired our guns and the British...
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 today.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org, and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page, and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Couldn't catch 'em down the Mississippi to the Gulf of Mexico.
All right, we're back. Would President Putin be able to, if he ordered one, get his military to carry out orders to attack Israel? I'm not saying nuke it, wipe it off the map, but I'm just saying attack it.
Yes, and I think Putin's actions in Syria prove that he's serious. I also think it needs to be understood that strong elements in the Russian government, in the America, and in the Russian military, in the Russian intelligence community, are even more hardline than President Putin is, from various things that have come my way from Phil Giraldi and others. So that if they felt that it was in their national interest to clip Israel's wings, they would do so. So I think the Russian resolve is there, especially when they see the machinations of the United States in their southern underbelly and in the Baltics and in Eastern Europe, the litany of broken promises to them on the part of the United States and the unilateral abrogation of these treaties and the recruitment of these Warsaw Pact countries to join NATO and all the rest of it. They would be prepared if it came down to this Israel question as being a dagger at the Russian nationalist throat. Their president would be able to respond, and I believe would do so.
Okay. All right. Now, there's a number of articles that you mentioned earlier, put things up on the big board. In the last couple of minutes, is there anything else that we should be paying attention to? Because there's so much going on.
Well, just let me summarize a couple things very quickly. Joe Biden's new $6 trillion budget, folks. Start getting into the economics of that one, as it were. We put up the basic information on our big board. $6 trillion federal budget now under Joe Biden. Don't even ask about deficits. Cultural issues. Ron Paul tells us in Lou Rockwell how it is that Texas killed COVID. See what Dr. Paul has to tell us on that story. See how the Biden administration, with the help of a federal judge, is trying to impose transgender students in the dormitories of a Christian fundamentalist Christian college in Missouri, the College of the Ozarks. I imagine that one will go all the way to the Supreme Court. And of course, when we start looking at some of the other issues involved in our day, Texas is now the 21st state as of the 1st of September to approve concealed handgun carry without a state license and without being taxed by the state government in question. I think that's a great development. And we did mention in the VK listings for this show that we have a gun of the week in celebration of Texas legislative actions. That gun of the week from National Bugle Radio is the Walther PPQ in 45 ACP. And we posted some videos at the VK link on how to field strip one of those babies if you're looking for a good gun to protect your family with.
Okay. Well, that sounds great. So everybody check that out. And thank you so much, Mark, for joining me today.
See you next week.
And I'll be back again next week with more exciting episodes of National Bugle Radio.
Obstirnt oder steigt. Und die Sonne uns lacht, der Tag glühend weiß, oder eiskalt die Nacht. Bestaunt sind die Gesichter, doch nur nicht unser Sinn, ja unser Sinn. Es braust unser Panzer im Sturm.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from simplycleanfoods.net, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters. Right now, Amazon Prime members will receive fast two-day shipping. Go to simplycleanfoods.net. That's simplycleanfoods.net. But do it today.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.